Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, 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 everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Valentine's Day, Tuesday, February 14th. I hope you're having a great afternoon, that if you have a Valentine, you were given a card or a kiss or a candy or a chocolate, or having a wonderful evening out tonight. Congratulations to everybody. I found a real thing here in Ohio. I don't know if you guys have it in your area, but I have a candy shop that's usually my go-to candy shop here. It's called Giannis, G-I-A-N-N-I-S, here in Northeast Ohio. And they make all the candy right there at the warehouse. They have a warehouse. They have a little front storefront there. And the production company is right there. So when it's the holidays, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Easter, all these things where candies go, these guys are like making stuff like crazy. Boom, 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 right? And you can go there and they have all the ones that are like seconds, chocolate second things that stick together or things that didn't come out right out of the candy machine. And they put them together in 5 or 2 pound bags for $5. And they have these like all year long around the holidays. They have so many of them they're trying to get rid of. You can get 2 of these 2 pound bags for $5. You get 4 pounds of candy for $5. Good stuff. I mean, it is broken. Some of the pieces are broken. Some are stuck, double stuck together. They all look pretty darn good though. So I get those every year and I put them into little tins I get from the dollar store and give them away to friends and family and things like that. So it's kind of a fun thing to do here. I went out today and did all of my Valentine's giving away to everybody. So that was kind of nice. And yeah, it's a great day here. Thanks for being part of the Left of Straight Show. Again, my host, my name is Scott Fullerton. I'm your host today. We have a great show for you. Yesterday, if you missed yesterday's Left of Straight Show, we had Rocanel on. She's from My Life is a Telenovela, a Spanish or Mexican telenovela superstar, been in lots of episodes. And she was on for the show, and she was such an interesting and fun person. She's had a hugely interesting life. She was part of a girl pop group down there. It was kind of like the Menudo of Mexico for girls. And she was with this singer. It was like they called her the Mexican Madonna. She was part of one of her backup singers. And in this huge band, well-known everywhere, gotten a big scandal kind of went around this thing, and she got put in jail for 5 years, never charged with anything, and finally let go with no charges. And such an interesting story. Went back into acting and singing, and now she's been on this My Life is a Telenovela and got a lead role in another soap opera, Evelatoria. And it's pretty exciting story. If you have a chance, go back and check that out right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can always go to our website, leftofstraightradio.com. We'll have the episodes up very soon. Right now, you can sign up for email blast on there. And if you have an Android or an Apple phone or a tablet, we have a free app. Doesn't cost you anything. Go to your Android or Apple app store. Type in or search for Left of Straight Show. That's LeftOfStraight Show. And you can get our free app. Download it. You'll never miss any of the shows right here on Left of Straight Radio. This My Left of Straight Show, our Wednesday Standing on My Soapbox, and our new Saturday shows, Voices for Change 2.0 and Rust Belts and Rainbows. So be sure to download that app. But today, two great guests today. We got 2 great hours of radio. For the first hour, we're going to have Mark Schwamberger. He is an actor and the artistic director of the Evolution Theater Company in Columbus, an LGBTQIA theater company that he founded. And then for the second hour, we have model and musician Stephen Deller. Gorgeous man, bigger heart, great person. Both are going to be a great show today. Tomorrow we do Standing on My Soapbox show, which is our weekly rant, rave, and review show. I have a great co-host with me tomorrow, Rachel Currents. She's currently starring on the New Edition story, all about the band New Edition on BET right now. She'll be on here to talk all about pop culture, politics, and LGBT news. So I'm very excited to have her on the show tomorrow. And then Saturday we have Voice for Change 2.0. So some great week of radio for our LGBT community and our allies. We have a special shout out to True FM Online. They're always simulcasting my show out there in Columbus, Ohio, alternative radio station there. They are actually just bought part of a magazine now, and I'm probably going to be writing for them soon. So that's going to be kind of fun. And we have Alexander Rodriguez, of course, is our media partner. His show is on 3 hours after ours every Tuesday night. Alexander on the Rocks radio show on UBN Radio Network. And he is always such a great person and such a great mentor to me and helps out the show so much. A big shout out to him as well. I want to play for you real quick, guys, a little snippet of a trailer for a documentary. Speaking of Columbus and Ohio here, this has come out of Columbus, Ohio, and it's called Kings and Queens and In-Betweens. It's a documentary that gives a larger lens on this gender revolution from a small town mindset here in Ohio. So it brings conversation of important differences between gender, sex, and sexuality. The trailer's released now. It's going to be opening up in limited theaters pretty soon, but I want you to listen to a snip of it. And then when you have a chance, go to YouTube and try to see it for yourself. It's a really cool looking show. But this is Kings and Queens documentary, Kings and Queens and In Between. You're right back.
When people think of sex and gender, it's black and white. Drag is a way to show the gray areas. Because it's not black and white. It's never been black and white.
The root of a lot of violence and bullying and stuff like that is not about sexual orientation. It's about gender identity or gender expression.
So I can have a different gender identity from my physical sex, and that has nothing to do with who I want to have sex with? What?
I'm a teacher by day and a drag king by night.
I go to the Roy Renegade shows. I thought it was awesome, but I said, there's no way in hell I would ever do that. I would never glue hair on my face.
All of a sudden, some of the people who voted against gay people having the same rights as straight people in the state are saying, well, why can't Julie have any time to stay home with your family when you had a baby? They have that feeling of like, well, I would never want you to not be able to be with your son.
I know that my parents saw a very different picture for me. I think they wanted me to go into politics and be a lawyer. They also saw me getting married, having kids. I plan on having a white picket fence, and I plan on having children, but I plan on doing it with another man.
Oh, no, the only time we have sex is when it's a drag. No.
Do not use that as a drag. That will never happen, ever.
I had to sit down and ask my brother, like, how to be a guy, like, how to walk like a guy.
I'm a trans guy. I'm doing theater. This isn't drag for me.
I don't think being a man is bad. I don't think being a woman is bad. I just happen to be really in the middle.
And that's just a clippet of the Kings and Queens and In Between documentary out of Columbus, Ohio. Check that out online. It's coming to a theater near you soon. Maybe Mark will have a little insight of that when I have him on in just a minute. Last week we had Scott Turner Schofield on. If you don't know who Scott is, good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. Like, he's been on like 4 or 5 times. He is the first transgender actor ever on a daytime soap. He was featured on The Bold and Beautiful. And he does his one-man shows all over the country. He did the most amazing TED Talk you've ever seen. Does the same thing. Talks about gender, sex, and sexuality. Another thing to look up on YouTube, Scott Turner Schofield TED Talk. His last name is spelled S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. So Scott Turner Schofield TED Talk. The YouTube search engine, you'll be glad you did. It's about a 20-minute presentation all about gender, sex, and sexuality. So it's very interesting. Goes right along with that. So that's kind of cool. I think you guys would want to check that out. But what we're going to do now is bring our guests on the phone in just a couple seconds. We have Mark Schwamberger calling in from Columbus, Ohio, talking all about the Evolution Theater Company, their new season coming in. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be having Mark on the line. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We're going to play a little bit of Levi Christ's Hello. Of course, Levi won the Tony Award for Million Dollar Quartet. He's going to be back on the show. He's going to be premiering in the Sorted Lives sequel next month. So here's Levi Christ. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. All righty, and we are back, everyone. That was Levi Christ with Hello. Of course, Levi starred in Million Dollar Quartet on Broadway, won a Tony for that. Speaking of theater, I'm so lucky, guys. My first guest today decided after 20 years in the corporate world to return to Ohio State University and complete his degree in theater. He chose to stay in Columbus after graduation and pursue a theatrical career there instead of returning to New York City, where he'd spent several years already acting and directing. In 2011, he established Evolution Theater, Inc., a nonprofit corporation specializing in producing new or seldom seen works. And then in 2015, he took the even bolder step by rebranding the theater company and creating an entire new mission, establishing it as the only Central Ohio theater company dedicated to the LGBTQIA community. He's presenting works that celebrate our past, our present, and our future. I'm so excited to have been able to meet him and see a couple of productions. Please welcome to the show, Mark Schwarmberger. Mark, how are you?
Really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I am in love with your theater company. I first learned about you a year and a half ago, I guess, when you brought Del Shores out, who's been a guest on my show, for your guys' production of Sordid Lives, where you pretty much stole the show as Brother Boy. But that was my first introduction to Evolution Theater Company, and it's been love ever since. So welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm in love with the theater company, too. And I have to tell you that one of my bucket list roles was playing Brother Boy in Sordid Lives. So when we had that show, it was really sort of like one of my theatrical dreams come true. And when we were able to bring Del Shores in, it was even better. So it was, you know, not that I don't have more bucket lists on my – more bucket list roles, you know. I mean, my list keeps growing.
Sure.
As I read more and more plays. But that was a very exciting and special performance that we did. And I'm glad you got to see it. I'm glad that was your introduction to Evolution Theater Company.
It was fantastic. And, of course, I saw Coco Peru there not too long ago. That was an amazing show. And you've just done so much great works over the past couple seasons. And you have a new season starting pretty soon here in May. So that's exciting stuff.
Yes, yes, it is. It's a very exciting season. And we are, you know, the shows that I picked, they're, some of them are diverse, but like anything that we do in Evolution Theater Company, they all really have the same storyline, the same feeling in the sense that, you know, that the LGBTQIA community are your, you know, we're your family, we're your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, that we're in every aspect of your life. We've been here now, we've been here in the past, and we're here to stay. So, you know, it's
I
just
love
to
that.
Celebrate
yes, we
the
are.
Community.
Well, let's go
yes,
back
yes.
to you a little bit. I mean, tell us about it. I know that you take time off after working. You did go back and got your theater degree. What was your interest in entertainment? I mean, you've done quite a few productions in New York and Florida and all over the place. Tell me about your introduction to the entertainment business and what were you like growing up? How did that enter your life?
Well, I'll make this quick, but I majored in theater in college in when I first started, and then I went to summer stock for a few years, and I got these lead roles in the university productions and in summer stock, and I thought, well, I'm going to be a star, so I just went to New York to be a star. Only to find out, you know, and we all think that, especially as an actor, you think you're very unique. You know, I have this unique look. I have this unique. Until you go to your first cattle call audition and you see 100 of you sitting there in front of you. So I worked in theater for a while in New York. I did a number of, you know, shows off-Broadway, off-Broadway and things like that. And then I just decided that, you know, we have to, of course, pay the rent.
Yeah,
so
that
I
makes
went,
a little difference, right.
Right, so I went into the corporate world and I went, you know, I worked for various banks in the information technology area and things like that until I said, okay, I'm through with corporate America. I want to go back and have my life in a career that I love, which is theater. So I went back to Ohio State to get my degree, to finish my degree. And while at Ohio State, and I just want to make something clear, when I went back to Ohio State, I met, in one of my playwriting courses, I met Paul Lockwood. Paul Lockwood really began Evolution Theater Company in 2008, but it was a different entity. When I took over and I incorporated it in 2011 and got our 501c3. So it really, our what we are today began in 2011, but it started from Paul's baby that he created in 2008, and I just sort of nurtured it along to where we are today. And when I started in 2011, there was always this undercurrent that the Evolution Theater Company was the queer theater in the city, that we were provocative. And so in 2015, I thought, you know, we're already known as that. Why not just burst open the closet door and do it? Because in my career and everything, I always felt that theater was a very strong educational tool, that, you know, there have been many studies that the entertainment media can change people's attitudes about race, sexuality, sexual orientation, those type of things. And so my goal with Evolution Theater Company has always been to entertain, of course, but to entertain and educate through the power of theater. So, you know, that's when I choose the plays, that's what I look at. And, you know, so this is sort of like a culmination of a lifelong dream to be working in, you know, live theater and to actually be doing something that people come and see. So
well, exactly.
You know, that's
and
sort of my
see.
Background.
I mean, you fill up every time I've gone there, it's been a sold-out show. Talk about how you guys found the space. Have you always been in that space? It's a great little theater area you have there. How many theaters are in that little building?
There are two theaters. There is a larger proscenium stage, the Shed Theater, that holds about 250, and then the Van Fleet, where you saw Sorted Lives, that holds 175. We've been in there for maybe this is coming up our fourth season that we were there. We performed for a while down at the Rife Center. We did one season down at the Rife Center, but we really have made the Columbus Performing Arts Center our home. One reason, we have a very good relationship with Catco, who manages it, and Joe Bashara, who manages the theater, but it also fits very well in with the type of theater that we do. The Van Fleet, being a thrust stage, is very good for intimate theater that we do, where we want to draw the audience into the production. Now, this coming year, we're breaking our season up. We're putting two in the Shed and two in the Van Fleet. So the Shed is good for large productions, but the Van Fleet, really, the smaller stage, really fits what the type of theater that we do.
Well, it was perfect for like a show like Coco Prue and everything too. I think that's a great intimate setting for something like that. Now, talk about also, where did you find your board? I mean, when you want to go to incorporate, you go to be where did you find all these? You have a great diverse board.
Well, it's always a challenge to find people that are willing to, you know, be on a board and also, you know, give up their time to promote our theater. But my board, I must say that all of them they believe in the mission, and I think that's what drew them to Evolution Theater Company, that they believe in what we're doing. They believe that there is, you know, there is a purpose, and since we are diverse, since we do present things that are not normally done. I mean, I've had other theater companies, when I tell them the shows we're doing, they go, I'm glad you're doing it. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And that's when I know we should do it, you know, but they just believe in what we're doing. And they, you know, and I guess that's the main thing, that the board, everyone on the board believes what we're doing and it buys into, you know, our mission and everything. And is a really passionate, they're passionate about the mission as much as I am passionate about theater itself. And, you know, a lot of them are, except with the exception of Paul, of course, but most of them don't have any background in the theater per se or the business of theater. but that doesn't matter because they believe in our mission, and that's what's really important for a board, that they can go out and, you know, promote the company because they believe in it. I mean, you know, it's like anything else. You're going to be passionate about something that you believe in, and I really appreciate it. And we wouldn't be where we are today without the board, and we also wouldn't be where we are today without the people that work behind the scenes, you know, our stage managers and things.
Right.
And one person in particular, and I hope he's listening, Zachary Bailey, my production manager for the last, I think this is going to be his third season he's with us. I mean, he, let's be honest, he really runs the thing. I mean, you know, he keeps it going. But
everyone,
you know,
has that one go-to guy, so that's kind of great to have
right.
one of those. Now,
right.
was it immediately
right.
successful, or did you guys have a slow build, or what was the show that made you think this is really going to happen? We've made it.
Well, it's always difficult, and it's still difficult to get an audience with some of the, because we do things that people don't know about. I mean, you know, yes, Sordid Lives, people knew about Sordid Lives, so, you know, that was a big hit. But a lot of the shows we do are new, or, you know, they're not mainstream, so to speak, so that, you know, like the new musicals we do, you know, they don't know the music. So it's difficult. It really is, and that's what I bring back with education, is that you also through marketing have to say, okay, this is what the story is about. Because like this season we're doing the world premiere of Traveling by Kenneth Talbert. Well, that's a world premiere. Nobody has seen it. I mean, there has been a reading of it in, you know, New York, but nobody has seen it. So, you know, it's up to us to explain what these are about. And, you know, even the more, the ones that have been done before, like I know I'm getting into, you know, our season, but it's difficult. And I think that as people come and see the quality, they go, okay, I may not know what that show is about, but I know it's going to be a professionally produced show, you know, so that brings them in, even though they don't know what it's about per se. But on our website, I have, you know, developed it in our news page. We put a pretty detailed synopsis of each play so that people know what it's about, you know, a few months before we produce it. So Scott, it's, you know, it's difficult. I mean, you know, anybody that's in the theater will tell you that, you know, anything that you do, you're taking a risk. And especially when you do new works that have never been seen before in the area, you're really taking a risk. But that's what Evolution Theater Company is all about, taking risks.
Right. And it's that much more rewarding, too, when you start to see people fill the seats, too.
Right. Yes, it is. And it's also rewarding when you, because of our mission and because of the unique stories and shows that we produce, it's also very rewarding when, and I always say this, in that alphabet soup that you mentioned, LGBTQIA, one of the most important letters in that is A, which stands for ally. Because, let's face it, we won't win the war unless we have our allies. And it's really rewarding when people come in that are very skeptical about seeing a gay theme show, like when we did Yank was a story of two young soldiers, that male soldiers that fall in love during World War II. It was a true story based on memoirs and true writing, so it was based on truth. And when people come, they said, okay, you know, we're a little leery, but 5 minutes into the show, all we saw was it was a love story, just like any other World War II love story. It just so happened to be between two men. That gives me satisfaction to know that, okay, I'm reaching people that this is, you know, this is just life, and this has been going on for how many years. So you know, there is a lot of, I do get a lot of satisfaction, and I do get a lot of, you know, encouragement from the community, which I'm very glad for.
I love that. Well, let's go ahead, take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get into the season. We got some amazing shows coming up, like I said, starting at the end of April, 1st of May here. Guys, we're talking to Mark Schwamberg. He's the artistic director and oftentimes actor at Evolution Theater Company in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to take a quick break, play a bit of Preston Wiggins' new song, Animal, on his new album that's being released on April 11th. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I'll be the hunter, you'll be the hunter. You're just an animal, I'm just an animal. Sophisticated, give me a break. The beauty is a jungle, make no mistake. But cut them out, come take a bite. I'll be crying at the moon all night. I'll be the hunter, you'll be the hunter. You're just an animal, I'm just an animal. Is wild. Feel the temperature rise, I can smell you set the mouth. Your territory, you can play the predator now. I don't need a compass, babe, I know which way you go. I'll be the hunter, you'll be the hunter. You're just an animal, I'm just an animal.
That was Preston Wiggins with Animal One. You can listen to my full interview with Preston from last Tuesday by downloading our free Left of Straight Radio app on your iPhone, Android, or tablet. Guys, today we're with Mark Schwamberger. He is the artistic director of the Evolution Theater Company, an LGBTQIA theater company specifically, down in Columbus, Ohio. And Mark, you guys got a new season starting up pretty soon.
Yes, we start our 2017 season with previews begin April 28th, and our first show this season is Corpus Christi by Terrence McNally, which is one of the most controversial plays in modern history, because what it is a retelling of the life of Christ, where he is gay and his apostles are gay, but the story is still the same. I mean, it's still that he travels around spreading, you know, the same message that Christ did. And it's sort of a play on words because it's set in 1950s Corpus Christi, Texas. And if there are any Catholics out there, or people who understand Latin,
right.
Corpus Christi is the body of Christ. So it's, you know, when it was first produced in Manhattan, I believe it was Manhattan Theater Club that did it. It was in 1998, and it was, you know, the Catholic Church was against it, the religious right was against it, they were picketing. I believe even Terrence McNally got death threats because of the play. But we're doing it. It was last done in Columbus. Actually, in the same theater that we're doing it, it was last done in Columbus, I believe Joe told me, 15 years ago. And we're presenting
really?
It in association. Yeah, we're presenting it in association with CATCO. And it was done 15 years ago in the shed where we're doing it this year, where we're doing it in April. And Joe Bashar from CATCO is directing it. And he was actually in it 15 years ago. So there's all this history, and I'm really happy that, you know, we're doing it in association with CATCO. I'm happy that Joe is directing it, and he has assembled a stellar cast. I mean, some of the best actors in the city, in the Central Ohio area. So I'm very excited about that production, and that goes into previews the 28th of April and opens May 4th. So that's our first production of the year. And then we're following
that. That's amazing.
That.
So cool. And that's going to, you
it
said,
is,
preview
is
going to be April 28th and 29th. That's going to be playing
right.
for 2 weekends, May 4th through the 7th and May 10th through the 13th, correct?
Right. Yes. Yes. That's right.
And then coming in July, we have a David Mamet play, Boston Marriage, right?
Right. Yes. It's a very different Mamet play. It's about two women of fashion, and if you don't know, it's set in the early 1900s, and Boston Marriage was sort of back then sort of a euphemism for a lesbian relationship. So it sort of was like, you know, these two women are, you know, they're living together, and it's a very it's a wicked funny comedy, and you know it's one of Mamet's best comedies that he does. It's a little unusual for him, and it's a three character show, and I am directing it, and I have assembled some of the best talent for these three women to do the show, but I'm not at liberty to say who they are, so don't ask me.
Aha,
but it,
okay.
It,
I can't twist your arm today, huh?
Right,
no secrets
no.
revealed.
But it's a very funny show, and it's a very funny show, and that's going to be in the Van Fleet. So we're going back to the thrust stage for that one. But it's very funny, and it's one of, you know, Mamet's. It's unusual for Mamet. It's no Glengarry, Glenn Ross. So it's
right.
a very funny, funny comedy. So, and that runs.
Now, you said you've already cast for these two. How far in advance do you cast your shows?
Well, Joe had auditions for Corpus Christi in December, and then since this is a three character show, and I had certain people in mind that I wanted to do, because with a three character show, as we did with Looped last year, I mean Looped. With a two-character show, you really have to be able to have strong characters, strong actors that that they're going to have this chemistry. But our other shows aren't cast yet, so we're going to have auditions. So if anybody's listening out there that wants auditions, we're going to have auditions probably in April for the other shows that have a bigger cast. That we haven't cast them for. We haven't made the cast yet. So we tend to, depending on when the shows are, we tend to want to, you know, cast the shows at least 2 or 3, 4 months in advance, you know, to get everybody
right.
online. So
I imagine that's a lot of dialogue to learn on a three-person show.
It is. And that's why, you know, you really have to, no, you really have to have a confidence in your actors, especially for that type of show. So, But that previews on July 14th and 15th and then runs July 20th through the 29th. So that's our July
show. Over 2 weekends as well. Then coming up in August, you're doing Perfect Arrangement by Topher Payne, August 18th and 19th, the previews. Tell me about that one.
Well, this one is one of his newest works, and it's, as it turns out, quite topical. It's set in 1950, and it's the story of two federal employees that are charged with identifying deviants within the ranks of the government. But it turns out that they're both gay and lesbian, and they have married each other's partner, and they live in an apartment where they go back and forth through a closet. So they're really hiding the fact. And you know, it's with the current situation and what's happening, it becomes very timely in the sense that, you know, they're on this witch hunt for not only gay and lesbians, but anybody that the government thinks are, they don't fit the quote-unquote family values that the it's basically McCarthyism, if you know the history. So anyway, it's a comedy drama. It's not, you know, the subject matter makes it very important, but it's I saw a production of it down here. I saw the production at the Island City Stage in Fort Lauderdale, and it's a very entertaining show, but it's also very poignant because you realize, again, it's a historical piece that what these people went through put us where we are today. I mean, yes, we have a long way to go, but we have made some progress. So it's, again, that's a historical piece, and it's his newest work. That's, you know, just being done and premiering now. And of course it's an area premiere because it hasn't been done in the Central Ohio area before. And
that is awesome. So Perfect Arrangement by Topher Payne is going to be previews August 18th and 19th. Then the first weekend will be August 24th through 27th. And the second weekend, August 30th through September 2nd. And then you said you just talked about this world premiere. You guys will be the very first people for traveling. It's by Kenneth Talbert. Reviewing previews September 22nd. Give us a little more information on that play.
Well, it's a story about a well-known choreographer that is traveling to an uncertain future. The story itself is very interesting. But what makes the production interesting is that it's a unique blend of drama, ballet and music it's not a musical. This ballet dancer appears throughout the show, coming in that only one character can see him. So it's a very unique combination of these three mediums, the music, and I plan to have original music, original choreography, with the ballet dancer coming in. So it's a very interesting, unique
complex,
so, you know, and the story is very, because it also has to do with when do you rely on memories and not move forward in your life, you know. So it's a very interesting show. That's going to be in the Van Fleet, and that's the show this year that I'm performing in.
I have to plug
myself, you know, but anyway, so that is, and that's going to be in our September show. That's going to be in September. It's previewing the 15th, wait, no, it's previewing the 22nd and the 23rd, and then running the next two weekends in performance.
Fantastic. And you're finishing up the season with the most fabulous story ever by Paul Rudnick, very famous. That's going to be great, starting November 3rd, 4th. Talk about that one.
Well, that one, it was sort of interesting because when I did the season, I said, we're opening with the New Testament and we're closing with the Old Testament. Because, you know, Paul, the most fabulous story ever told is a retelling of the Old Testament, you know, the Garden of Eden. There's Adam and Steve and Jane and Mabel, and there, you know, you throw in a crazy pharaoh, and then we flip to modern day Manhattan, where you have, you know, a gay marriage and everything. So it's funny. It's very fast moving. I don't know if anybody out there knows Paul Rudnick. He is a very interesting writer, and he is very funny. His comedy is wonderful.
Right.
So it's sort of, you know, it's a retelling of, you know, the Old Testament in the first part of the show, and then it sort of mirrors it in modern day Manhattan in the second act. But one of the most wonderful lines in the show is that, you know, in the Garden of Eden, and I can't remember if it's Adam or Steve that says this, but they say, you know, we all just want the same thing. Why do we make such a fuss about being different? And it's, you know, that's the whole thing about, you know, it's sort of like that saying sums up Evolution Theater Company. And I was really, this season was, you know, really interested in opening it with Corpus Christi and then closing it with The Most Fabulous Story. And that's going to be in the Shed also, so in the bigger theater. So it's sort of like opening with something that is, you know, more serious and closing with just a very funny comedy retelling the Old Testament. And that's our season. And now I'm, you know, that's our season.
Well, it
and
sounds
be
amazing. Free. I think that's going to be a fantastic season. I don't know which ones I'm going to have to come up with. I think I'm going to get one of the three season passes. Tell everyone about the subscriptions. You have a three season and a five show, a three show and a five show package put together, correct?
Right. You can buy a full subscription with all five shows, or you can buy what we call our mini subscription, which is any three of the five shows that you can buy. And when you buy a subscription, you save 20% off if you bought single tickets. And everything can be purchased through our website, which is evolutiontheater.org. Or you can also get things by you can get individual tickets to the show from our Facebook page with the Get Tickets app on our Facebook page. That'll take you right to our ticketing website. But that's on our Facebook page. But everything you can find out everything about us and everything about the board and me and everybody else if you go to our website, which is evolutiontheater.org.
And, of course, every up-and-coming theater needs funds because it's always tough to get the funding. You guys have different packages for people that can contribute and be benefactors to the theater company as well, correct?
Right, yes. We have, you know, we could always use any sponsors that would like to give. And I always say, you know, this is no donation is too small. You know, any donation that anyone can afford to give us, I'm more than appreciative to receive it. And this you can get through our website. Also, there's links to, you know, you can donate through the Columbus Foundation. You can donate right through our ticketing site. We have a place when you buy a ticket, if you would like to throw in an extra $10, you can donate right when you purchase a ticket. Because with a nonprofit, we are 501c3, so any donations are tax deductible to the extent allowed by law. And, you know, any donation, I appreciate the person that it can give the $10 as much as I can appreciate the person that can give the, you know, $1,000, because
sure,
we each donate at the way that we can. It's just any donation means that you appreciate what we're doing and that you believe in our mission. And that to me is the most important, you know. So, you know, we appreciate, and there's, you know, you can go on the website. You can, if anybody has any questions out there for me, you know, the phone number is area code 614-233-1124. That's on our website too. They can call, they can talk to, you know, ask for me, talk to me, whatever. I'd be happy to talk, as you can probably tell from this interview, that I'll talk for days about theater.
Well, you are so good, dude, because all my listeners know I'm a big guy and I like to come to the plays, and you kind of do special accommodation to pull little seats apart for me and everything. So you really work to make sure everyone have a great theater experience, and it's really appreciated how much your love for theater comes through, not only in the plays you pick, but the productions and the way you treat all of the people that come and watch all the shows. So it's really appreciated, Mark.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I, well, you know, it's like I said, anybody that comes see the show, for however much, I appreciate each one equally. I mean, because the only reason we're there is because of you. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be there. So, you know, that's the reason we're there. And I just, you know, appreciate it. So thank you, Scott.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks so much for coming on the show. And I appreciate everything. They can check out the website. Please go to that. Mark, stay on the line for me. Guys, we're going to be back in just a little bit. I'm going to have a second guest, Stephen Deller, coming on in a little bit. Thank you so much to Mark Schwamberger, the Evolution Theater Company out in Columbus, Ohio. Please visit their site. Stay on the line, Mark, and I'll be back in just a couple of seconds, guys. You're listening to Left of the Straight Show. This is Brian Justin Crum and the guys from Pentatonix with Rise by Katy Perry.
I won't justify, oh, you will see me thrive. Can't write my story, I'm beyond the archetype.
That was Brian Justin Crum, of course, Mitch and Scott from Superfruit and a couple of their friends, Pentatonix as well. And guys, great show so far. Thanks so much to Mark Schwamberger for calling in from Florida. I definitely do love down to the Evolution Theater Company. It's great to have an LGBT theater company in Ohio that specifies to actually have some great theater in my part of Northeast Ohio. Columbus is about 3 hours from here, but we have an excellent just a great theater in the entire state of Ohio, so I'm very happy for that. A couple other things in the news before we have coming on in just a couple of minutes. We have Steve Deller coming on, an LA model, actor, and musician, and he'll be on in just a few minutes. A couple things I wanted to go over with you. really cool came out today. I don't know if you're a big music person, but we know of all the music videos going out there, there's not a lot about senior citizens and long-term same-sex relationships, right? So we have a new song that was dropped today by singer-songwriter Tom Goss. It's called More Than Temporary, and it's a ballad that kind of features cameos by legendary tales of the city author Amasid Maupin and Christopher Turner, and it features footage of real-life couples celebrating their enduring love for one another. So senior citizen couples, older couples, same-sex couples, featuring long-term love. And the song, again, is called More Than Temporary by LA-based singer-songwriter Tom Goss. So if you have a chance, another video for you to look up. I try to give you as many ideas of things to see that I'm looking at as we can here. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to be starting to do an offshoot blog, once-a-week blog, talking about all the different things that I find while I'm doing research for the radio show each week, just so you guys can keep up on a lot of things. There's things that you guys can send me that I haven't heard of before. Hopefully I can put some things out there that you guys might not have heard of before. And lastly, if you didn't hear yesterday, Out Magazine came out with that top 100 eligible bachelors a day before Valentine's Day. I see all these eligible, handsome, and successful men, of course. And it's a great list. If you have a chance, go to the Out Magazine website there. Quite a few people that I like, Colton Haynes, Lyle Richards, Tom Lenk, John Benjamin Hickey for Broadway, Billy Eichner, Charlie Carver, Mitch Grossi from, like I said, Pentatonix a second ago, Niall DeMarco, Adam Lambert, Titus Burgess from Kimmy Schmidt, oh, so funny, Ilio Cruz Lopez, a good friend of the show, Jussie Smollett from Empire, Raymond Braun, Kyle Krieger, great hairstylist. So it's a great list of Out 100. So go ahead and check out that magazine for us. But we're going to be back in just a couple minutes. We're going to have our next guest on, model, actor, musician Stephen Deller. So let's go ahead and take a quick little break here. We're going to play a little bit of Brandon James, who will be on the show on, I believe it's the 28th of this month. This is their vocal anthem, You Belong. You're listening to Left to Straight Show right here. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Back then, fighting the law of attraction, never the one taking action. Years of denying this beauty inside. Sleeping, scared of the fear they'd speak, and I never knew I was a beacon, waiting and waiting to light up the sky. When you're down and out, don't know what to do, what I found for me, I can be for you. If it comes from love, it'll never ever
All right, and we're back. That's Brandon James with You Belong. They are premiering a new video tonight on Alexander's show, and we'll be talking about that actually with our next guest in just a couple of moments. Guys, he's more than just a handsome face. You can see him modeling some of the hottest fashions from some of the best-known brands and designers in print, on the runway, in videos. He's also been a classically trained on piano and started to branch into acting work. His Instagram account has almost 250,000 followers. I know I've probably just recruited 100 of them myself. He's actually just a sweet boy next door, and I can't wait for you to meet him. Please welcome to the show, Stephen Deller. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I've been a great fan, and I appreciate getting to know you. So thanks for taking the time to call in a little bit here. You've got a busy day today.
Yeah, it's been a little hectic, but it's all good. I prefer that than the alternative.
There you go. Well, I actually became aware of you because it's so funny. I used to live in LA, and now that I moved to Ohio 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I have this radio show, and all my friends in LA know everyone there, and I don't know anyone anymore. But I kind of keep track of you. I kind of came across you. You played piano for my buddy Ronnie and Eddie for one of their friend movement shows last year, right?
That's right. Yes, yeah, they had a runway show, and actually I was in the runway show as well, but I originally was hired to just play sort of like the happy hour, cocktail hour, because they have a piano at the location that we were at.
Well, that is awesome. They are great friends of the show, and of course I've seen you on Jason Ferrone, who's been on the show, and of course our buddy Alexander, so I've seen you all around the place, just not in person, so it's so funny. So it's great to have fun. Now, we're talking about Alexander. You're going to actually be on Alexander's show tonight. We already plugged him earlier because he's a great media partner for us. But you have a kind of a new job with Alexander, right?
Yes. I've been guest co-hosting with him for twice already. And so this is the third time I'll be guesting. And last time I was there, we had a great time. And he was like, we should get you your own segment of some sort. And so we decided that I'd be the pop culture segment for the show. Come on every once in a while and discuss the goings-on in the pop culture community and world.
That's awesome. Well, you're kind of a man about town there in L.A., obviously, through all your work and everything else. And you're ever going to be writing for a magazine there, right?
Yes. I actually got hired to be the pop culture editor for Beverly Hills Lifestyle magazine. My friend Mark Currian's the owner of the magazine, and that's actually what tied in with the radio show around the time I was getting, you know, that contract solidified. Alex was like, we should have you on the show more often. We should get you to do more things. And I was like, well, let's do something with this pop. You know, since I'm working for the magazine, might as well tie it in with the radio show. So I'm really excited about it. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Congratulations. That's amazing. I can't hear what you have to say tonight. Of course, we just played Brandon and James. They're going to be on tonight debuting their music video. And Alexander's a lot of fun. I mean, I drink while I'm doing my show, but you're going to drink together. You could drink together on his show.
Yeah. You go in there and he's like, what do you want to have? What do you want to drink? And I'm like, oh God, it's going to be one of those nights. But no, it ends up always being so much fun.
That is awesome. Let's start. Give my listeners a little bit of background on you. Were you born and raised in LA, or what brought you to Southern California?
Yeah. I was born and raised in Simi Valley, which is a city that's outside of Los Angeles, but you know, like 35 or 40 minutes or so outside of Los Angeles. And right. I've lived in L.A. mostly for my entire life. I went to college in San Diego for a few years, but I just, you know, you can't really beat L.A. I love the weather, and I'm totally a, you know, Southern California boy. My family's from New York, though, but I always say that I have, like, the New York upbringing, but in a California lifestyle.
I love that. That's awesome. I told you off air, I miss my California upbringing. I lived there for my first 29 years, so I loved L.A. so much. And speaking of 29 years, you had a little birthday yesterday, too, as well. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I know, the big 3-0. No more 20s for me.
You still look like a kid. You look fantastic, my friend, of course. But
thank
sounds
you.
Like
thank
fun.
You.
It's always fun to... be in California, so much to do, so many things to see. I love spending my time in LA, and I can't wait to be out there in April. But let's talk about now. You're a recognized model everywhere. You've done so many great print works and videos and things like that. But you weren't always a model. Were you kind of a skinny kid and just into sports and everything? You didn't really start building your body and going into that whole thing till later, right?
Yeah, I always did sports when I was younger. I was pretty athletic, but I did I played soccer for 12 years. I played basketball, swimming, track, and I was very, very thin because of that. You know, those are really high cardio intensity sports. So once I was done with those, I pretty much stopped all the sports when I was around 17 years old. But I wanted to stay, you know, physically active, so I just started weight training after that. And so I've been weight training ever since. And after college, I started doing a little bit of modeling before college, but I decided to sort of kind of put a pin in it, not really like super go into it until I was done. And then once I was done, I was back in LA, and I was, you know, back into the grind.
That's amazing. And one of your first gigs was Adam Busco, who's of course famous in our community for the No Hate campaign, right?
Yeah, that was actually my first photo shoot I ever did was with Adam. I was like 18 or 19 years old, and he was actually shooting with my best friend, and she was like, you need to come to this photo shoot, you need to come. And I was like, all right, I'll come, but I don't know. And then I did some photos. I know, and she had been modeling for years, so I was like, okay, whatever. So I did a photo shoot with her, and Adam asked me to come back to do a solo photo shoot. And then when I did that photo shoot, it just sort of really kind of picked up after that. You know, a few years later, I gained some muscle mass, and I got over my awkward phase, and then, you know, things started to pick up.
That is cool. And I always tell my friends when I kind of tell them to watch your Instagram and things, you have like one of the best hairs in modeling. I love your hair. You've done some fun things with some fun shoots, but you got a great head of hair. I love that.
Thank you so much. You know, it's funny because I had a buzzed head, you know, for most of my life. So that was only a few years ago I decided, you know, I'm going to try to grow out my hair and see what happens with that, you know, because I felt sort of stagnant with my look. And once I did that, it opened up a lot of doors. There's a lot more options when you have, you know, different looks you can provide.
Right. Now talk about the job part of modeling. I mean, it's hard, a lot of hard work too. You got a lot of not only pay attention, of course, to your body and everything, but there's some long hours and you got to do a lot of funky things. What's the downside people maybe don't see in the modeling world?
You know, there's downsides to every career and every job. I mean, with modeling, there's definitely a lot of different like categories. Where the fun modeling is, I love doing runway. That's just high. I mean, when you do a runway, the adrenaline that you feel when you hit that catwalk, it's so much fun, and you just keep wanting to do it over and over and over again. But the boring side of modeling is I hate doing, what is it called, product shots, where you spend like 8 to 10 hours literally putting on every single article of clothing that the designer has, and they take, you know, the front shot. It's, and, you know, that's, you know, it's for like their website, for, you know, when they want to sell it on their website. You only see like the actual product on the body. You don't see the person really. And so
right.
Those photos, I mean, you'll be doing hundreds of pairs of underwear or swimwear and just over hours and hours and hours of time. And it's so mundane and boring. And, but you know, you got to do it. It's part of the job.
Yeah. Got to pay the bills. Daddy's got to pay the bills. There you go.
Yep.
What do you think was your worst photo shoot experience that turned out like, it was a crappy shoot, but it turned out some amazing pictures. And what was feels like maybe your worst shoot that you weren't happy with your pictures for?
There's been a couple of shoots over the years where I just got the images back and I just wasn't a fan of it. For the most part, I do connect really well with the photographer, but every once in a while you'll work with someone and you think that they just, I don't know, it just doesn't click very well. And I haven't really had very bad experiences. I kind of targeted people that I really wanted to work with over the years. So usually that ended up being really great experiences. A few times I worked with photographers where I obviously was like, it was like a test shoot and I was shooting with a girl and the photographer really just wanted it to be about the girl. And so I got nothing from it. And it was basically like just a waste of time for me because I never even saw the images. So that was probably like my worst experience.
And is there something that you pick out of yourself every time you look at photos? Do you have like something that always bugs you, or are you kind of made your peace with it after so long of doing this?
Yeah, I think at some point you just sort of, you say, well, that's just sort of what I look like. You know, you learn your angles and which, you know, poses your, for, which work for you. And, you know, everyone always says they have a better side, you know, whether their left side or their right side or whatever. And I'm just like, I believe that as well, but I'm just going to just do what I can and, you know, and be confident in yourself. You got to fake it till you make it. And that's sort of, once you do, it's like, why was I even nervous in the first place?
Well, you have a fantastic look, my friend. Of course, an amazing body. How do you kind of,
thank you.
How often a week do you have to maintain that? And how do you go from, I mean, I've seen you work with like Billy Reilich, who is a gorgeous man too, but he's like a really big, how do you decide and keep yourself at the weight and the tone that you want?
For me, it was like a process because I was super thin. I was about 20 pounds underweight. So I spent a lot of the end years of my college experience bulking, which was like for an 8-month period, I had to eat around 6,000 calories a day just to gain like body mass because I just couldn't. And my metabolism was just super high from all the sports I did when I was younger. So it took quite a while
right.
to even get to a bulky size. And then from that, you know, I cut down, which when you cut, it actually makes you look bigger because your muscles become more defined. But you're actually losing weight. And then now that I've gotten older, it's more of just sort of like sculpting. You know, I look at specific body parts and I'm like, okay, I want that to look a little bit like this. I want this to stay small. I want this to get bigger. For me, it's more of just like what I find aesthetically pleasing for myself. And also it's always been, you know, for me, it's always been just about staying in shape because I've always been that way since I was a kid.
Right. Now, are you ever going to eventually take this into doing your own training? Because some people now do training. You see a lot of models with their own training. You know, you sound so specific as far as muscle groups and things like that. Are you going to be able to take that and move that as another part of your career later on, maybe?
Yeah, actually, my friend Jason Wimberly is opening up a fitness studio called The Wall. He actually has a pop-up studio in Hollywood that he has opened now. That's not the permanent location. But I've been taking classes there because I'm going to be a fitness instructor at that studio in about six
nice.
Or 7 months. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, like I said, you got to get your own line. You're there. With your look and your knowledge of your body and knowledge of other people's muscle groups, I mean, that's something to do. That's fantastic. Now, you have over almost a 250,000 viewers on Instagram, and your videos are just fun. They show some shoots you've been in. They show a lot of fun with them. How much of this promotion do you have to do, do you think, for yourself, or do you have an agent that does 90% of it? Is that mostly just for fun, or how do you work what you let out there? How do you kind of keep your brand to yourself, I guess?
I've done this pretty much I've done it really on my own. I've tried going the agency route, and for some reason I just have not been able to get signed. And so I was just like, well, I'm just going to keep on trucking and do it myself. And I would add or follow magazines or photographers that I wanted to work with. And there's an option where you only get notified if people you follow like or comment on your image. So I would notice if a magazine or photographer was liking my stuff, and I would go and contact them to work together. And that's how I actually have gotten a lot of work in different magazines and different cover photos. And I just sort of pick it up myself for what I feel I want to do for my career.
That's awesome. And you've been very accepting and very promoting of all the LGBT events. Have they been good back to you, or do they seem to be is there anyone that's, are we more bitchy in the LGBT community, or is it kind of the same anywhere you go? What have you found working with? Because you do so many great charity things and some great events with so many things too.
Yeah, I mean, I always try to surround myself with people that are in the community that really want to better our community. You know, there are those that will try to bring others down, and just, you know, you just got to learn which people you want to keep around you. And I've been fortunate that I haven't had too many bad experiences over the years, and I got to work with a lot of great, you know, businesses and, you know, done step and repeats for companies that were doing, you know, like the Impulse Group. I've worked with them. And so it's been great. I haven't really had any terrible experiences from that kind of stuff. I think the people that do that kind of stuff are really positive energy, and they want to just help better our community.
That's awesome. Let's take a quick break. I want to take a couple seconds, and when we come back, I want to talk about your musical career, because you're an excellent pianist, like we said, and you're kind of branching out to acting. I know you have a Cherry Pop movie or something coming out soon. Let's take a break. I want to play a little bit of Blake MacGyver. This is his Start to Believe. When we come back, we're talking to the fantastic Stephen Deller right here on the Leftist Right Show.
Staring down that long and winding road, I felt like I could never start again. Flipping through the pages of my broken life, just remembering when. Before I was yours, I just stumbled through my feeble lies. But now you bring me all I could ask for, you give me all that I need. And baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe. Looking up that mountain top, I said, how do we begin to climb? Wishing I could speed right through to all the joy, just manipulate time. But now I am yours, so I'll stop wandering through those feeble lies. Cause now you bring me all I could ask for. All that I need, and baby, you gather the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe. Yeah.
I guess I'll start to believe.
And though my doubts close in, I know there, I won't despair. My dream come true. Who knew? Baby, it's you. And though I falter, I lose control. Your soul pulls me through. Baby, it's you. You know just what to do. You bring me all I could ask for. You give me all that I need. And baby, you gather the pieces. I guess I'll start to believe.
Alrighty, we are back. That was our good friend Blake MacGyver. Guys, we're talking today to Stephen Deller. He's a model, musician, actor, doing all of it down there in L.A. And let's talk about your music a little bit. Now, you've been classically trained for, what, 12 years on the piano?
Actually, 22 years now.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's part of who I am. I'll never not play the piano. And I mean, I've done it since I was 8 years old, and I was classically trained for 10 years, and then just been playing ever since. Play everything.
That's got to be kind of a good relaxing moment too. I don't know how you use it or not, but this is it. It seems to center you. When I see someone sitting at the piano, everyone who plays, it seems so centering for them. Does it kind of help you get in a mindset when you need it to?
Absolutely, it's there for me when I'm feeling many different emotions. You know, when I'm upset, I'll play certain music. When I'm excited, I'll play certain music. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like an extension of myself, you know. How I'm feeling is how I'll play a certain piece of music. And that's what I love about music and I love about the piano is I can play the same song that I've been playing for 15 years and it will sound different each time.
That's awesome. So cool. And yet I from seeing you in the video, like I said, on Jason's show, you love Disney tunes, huh? You like to play songs?
I do love Disney. I'm definitely a Disney dork, for sure.
That's got to put you in a good mood. If you can't not hear a Disney tune and be in a good, bad mood, it's impossible.
I know. And like every time I have a group of friends over and they're like, you know, we're all like having some wine and hanging out, and I'll go to the piano and I'll like play You Got a Friend in Me, and everyone, it just puts everyone in such a good mood. Like, I don't know anyone that listens to Disney music and it just doesn't get like happy and completely nostalgic and think about, you know, that childhood feeling. It just, that just never goes away.
Exactly. That is so cool. Now, you put some of your songs that you played up on YouTube. It seems to me you only record yourself on laundry day because you never have a shirt on. I'm not complaining at all, mind you. But it's so funny.
Well, there was a couple of times I did have a shirt on, and then I would get complaints. So I was like, screw it. I just won't wear a shirt when I play the piano anymore. I'll stay true to my brand.
There you go. Exactly. I'm telling all my listeners to rush out there and look at your YouTube channel, because some very nice piano playing going on there. You never knew that piano could be so visual, but it can be. It's always nice.
Yep.
Now, talk about, do you sing much? Because you don't sing in any of your songs you play, but you were in Todrick Halls. Were you actually singing there? Were you lip singing? Do you like to sing?
No, I was lip singing. Oh, lip singing. Yeah, I wasn't singing live. That's one of the things I want to do, you know, take vocal lessons. I just haven't had the chance to do it. I mean, I do have, you know, somewhat of an ear from years of experience at the piano, but I just haven't had the chance yet. And I'm actually really, really insecure and really public singing. I've never been able to do karaoke. And so that's sort of maybe like one of my resolutions, is to try to attempt to do like a karaoke night. But it's so hard in Los Angeles, because have you ever been to like a karaoke night in West Hollywood?
Yeah, a long time ago. And they're horrid. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it's like you go in there and it's like American Idol meets The Voice. Like, everyone in there is like an amazing singer, and they're singing these, I mean, and a lot of people are probably from American Idol that are in there singing, and you're like,
or they want to
wait,
be on,
so,
that's for damn sure. Yeah, of course. That's their audition tapes,
so,
right there.
Exactly. That's really what they do. They go and they record themselves singing in front of people. So it's like, you have that and you're like, well, I'm going to go up there and embarrass myself in between two people, like vocalists. It's just, it's so like, scary.
Well, see, that's what Alexander can do for you. You're doing something for his show. You need Alexander to take you to the out-of-the-way karaoke, because Alexander's an amazing singer, and he knows all those places. So, come on, bitch, please. I want a little help here.
Right. Hook a bitch up.
Exactly. No, that would be awesome. I can't wait to hear you. I hope you pursue that, because that would be very cool, because you have to have that musicality just from all that years on the piano, so that would be awesome.
Yeah. It's definitely on the list of things that I want to do, for sure. You know, I don't like limiting myself in that kind of aspect. So as you can see, I put my, you know, tipping my toes in everything.
There you go. And speaking of that, I hear about acting. There's like a Cherry Pop movie or something you're part of, or what's that all about?
Yeah. It was about a year ago we filmed it. It's an independent film. I got approached to play this small part, just as a DJ, but I got to be like the comedy. It stars a few queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, Detox, Bob the Drag Queen, who just recently won. There's Mayhem Miller, Aluja, Misty Violet, Latrice Royale is in it. And it's this really funny movie. I got to play a very eccentric DJ that, you know, I didn't get to have too many lines. I think they might have edited out the one line that I actually did have, but it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. I never had been in front of like a large set like that before for film. So I'm looking forward to it. It got picked up for, a festival next month. I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. I feel bad, but it did get picked up. So I'm really excited for that.
Cool. And so that's something you want to pursue as well, is maybe try to get into a little more acting?
Yeah, it definitely is something I want to pursue. There's so many things I want to pursue that, like, you're trying to pursue things while you're also pursuing other things. And so it's just, there's so many different doors that open, you know, at different times. So it's definitely something that I'm trying to get more into. I've had so much fun being in all of Todrick Hall's videos over the years, because, you know, you go there and you just have no idea what to expect. And all of a sudden he's like, okay, now you have to learn this choreography. Okay, this one, you have a line over here. Okay, do this, do that. And it's like, you're like, okay,
right,
what?
Right.
I remember – when we did the bitch perfect one where I had to do like choreography, he was like, while we were driving over to the location, he plays the song and he says, okay, you have to memorize this song now because you're going to be lip syncing to it in about 10 minutes and we're going to learn choreography. And I was like, what? This is happening right now? I had no idea what's happening.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, I love that. That's funny.
That's always how it is, though, like on his set, because he has such a vision for things. So it's really cool when you go there and all of a sudden it's like you see the end product of all this madness get put together.
It's amazing. I get amazed by every single one of the videos. I get alerts whenever they come up because they are just pieces of work, man. They're so fun.
Yeah. And he writes all that music. I'm like, Dan, you're talented. I mean, because it's bringing two of my favorite things together, Disney and pop.
There you go. Oh, match made in heaven right there. And we're talking about Billy Reilich. Really, you've been on Ellen once or twice. You just start having her get you as a regular guest gig. He got onto a movie from that, didn't he?
I think he got into Magic Mike from it. Yeah. Well, the thing with Ellen's show is I was on it about, I want to say, like 6 or 7 times, and it was so much fun. But they like to have a rotation of guys that they have on that show. And
right.
the casting director at the time that I was on the show, she moved on to another show. And so I haven't been on the show since she had left. So I don't know if it was because they just like lost information or just because the new casting director had other people that she knew. But
right.
It was a great experience. Ellen is such a sweetheart. She was so much fun. I got to meet her a few times and a few of the scenes that we did. She was just like, she was a total goofball. It was fun.
She seems like she'd be very supportive of everybody. I mean, she's just so nice to everybody, especially the LGBT community, that she would give you any time you asked of her. I mean, she just seems like that kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She definitely has a big heart, and she helps out a lot of people, and you can definitely see that.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go here in a second. I know you have to get to Alexander, but let's talk about tomorrow. I mean, like I said, those of my listeners that don't follow you on Instagram, you treated everybody to your birthday and your birthday suit yesterday, but tomorrow you're going to be a model for a drinking party. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so about a month or two ago, I got asked. It's this art studio that's opening, and they're doing this event called Wine and Art. And so people are going to come and, you know, have some wine, look at the art, and I'm basically going to be a canvas. So I'm going to be there to greet everyone, basically in my underwear, towel, like almost naked, not completely, but almost. And they'll have artists that will actually like paint and draw me, like on me, like I'll become the canvas. So
you are the hardest working man in show business, my friend, right there.
One thing I've learned over the years is you got to hustle and you got to make it happen for yourself because nobody else is going to do it for you.
Well, you're doing it, man. You do it with a great attitude, and I'm really excited to get to know you. I think it's cool. You have to come up on the show. We talked off air. I'd love to have you back on a Soapbox show, but anytime you have anything to promote, please come back. You're going to be a regular on Alexander's show every Tuesday night there on UBN Radio is when Alexander's on, of course. Tell my listeners where they can follow you on Instagram and your social media.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlySteven. And then on Twitter, it's just my name, Stephen Daler, DEHLER. And then on Facebook, it's my full name, Stephen Edward Daler. And that's where you can follow me.
Super duper. Well, my friend, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it to have you on the show. I'll be listening tonight in the chat room with Mama Rose over there on UBN. We're going to play out tonight, guys. Get a little treat. We're going to play a little bit of Stephen's piano playing. This is Those Who Fight. This is from a video game, right?
Yeah, I'm a huge video game nerd. I'm actually in the middle of playing a video game right now, before you called. This one's from a series called Final Fantasy. It's a series that's been around for a long time. I think they just had their, like, 30th anniversary or something, like, this year. And this is from the 7th game in that series. And the composer is a pianist, and so he makes a piano collection of all the songs that are in the game. So they're really difficult and they're really advanced, but they're so much fun to play.
Nice. Well, Stephen Daler, thank you so much for coming on. Stay on the line for me. Guys, I'll be back to wrap things up in just a couple minutes. We're going to play here with a little bit of Stephen Daler's Those Who Fight. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. I'll be back in just a couple of moments. Thank you. Are back. That was Stephen Daler with Those Who Fight on the Piano. Guys, he's just amazing. He really is the nicest guy on the planet. And if you haven't seen him yet, you want to look him up on YouTube. You want to look up his Instagram. He is one of the most gorgeous guys on the planet. And he's just that down to earth. Such a great guy. He's going to be doing so many great things. He's doing it all himself, as you heard, doing his self-promotion. So please keep a lookout for Stephen Daler. He's going huge places. He already is pretty huge, but he's just going to go up and more. So thanks for him for coming on. Thanks to Mark Schwamberger for coming on. He, of course, the founder of Evolution Theater Company, the LGBTQIA Theater in Columbus, Ohio. Great show today, guys. Thanks so much for listening in. I hope you come back tomorrow. We're going to be doing Standing on Our Soapbox at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Joining me on Standing on My Soapbox is going to be the wonderful actress from the show New Edition Story. It's on BET right now. It's the New Edition Story, all about the band New Edition. Her name is Rachel Current. She's going to be my special co-host. It's our rant, rave, review show where you're invited to call in and give your opinion right here about politics, pop culture, and, of course, LGBT news. So looking forward to tomorrow. If you're not following me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, please do. On Instagram and Twitter, it is at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. On Facebook, you can follow our page at Left of Straight Show, or you can give me a personal friend request at Scott Fullerton. Again, thanks for being part of the Left of Straight Show. We'll see you tomorrow night, 2 o'clock Pacific Time, 5 Eastern Time, Standing on My Soapbox. Have a great night.